Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. We meditate today on our gospel reading from John chapter 8 and under the heading or the theme of freedom is here. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your life-giving, freedom-delivering word, and we pray your blessing over us this day as we meditate on it. In Jesus' name, amen. Something you might not know about me is that I've spent time in prison. It was only about an hour, and I was there to visit someone, but I was there. An hour was long enough for me to realize that this was not somewhere I wanted to spend a whole lot of time, although it is an important place for Christian ministry to happen. As I went through the various security checks and as a guard accompanied me on the walk through the grounds towards the visitation area, I was struck by this real sense of the gravity of life behind walls, life behind bars, life confined, life cut off from society and from the world, whether one deserves to be there or not. Some of you may have experienced that firsthand, or someone you know may have. After my visit, I went back through the grounds, again accompanied by a guard, towards the entry, towards this big metal door, and headed out back through the security checks. I got in trouble from someone for going through the wrong door, but eventually I got out. And as I got out and as I left, I was again struck by the gravity of something else, and that is the incredible value of freedom, the incredible value of being able to walk out of that place, beyond the walls, hop in my car and drive to wherever I wanted to go, which most people inside there, of course, weren't able to do. I was struck by the gravity and felt very thankful for the gift of freedom. What is freedom? What does freedom mean to you? What does Christian freedom mean? What does it mean that Christ has come to set us free? What are we talking about when we say those sorts of things? The story of the Reformation is at least in part a story of a man named Martin Luther who also felt confined and behind walls and obstructed and hemmed in by the church and the God who he thought simply commanded and demanded and expected more and more of him and more than he could ever hope to deliver. The story of the Reformation, our story, is a story of Luther and the other reformers rediscovering the gospel of God's grace. A gospel that was always there, hidden in the Word of God, and just needed to be refound and rediscovered and brought back to life and light. This gospel was what Luther found freeing. This was his freedom. This was his experience of freedom, and this can be and is our experience of freedom as well. Freedom from all kinds of walls that we build up around ourselves or have others build up around us. How do we experience that freedom? We experience it as we continue in his word, as we refuse to be slaves to sin, and as we're set free by the Son. So Jesus says, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What does it mean to continue in Jesus' word? It means to live in it, to dwell in it, to make ourselves at home in it, to get comfortable there in the word of God. You know, in some ways, Jesus sets the bar remarkably low for his disciples. What is our task, we might wonder? Jesus says, continue in the things I have said. Continue in my word. Get comfortable in it. Learn it. Think about it. Read it. Talk about it. Hear it. Get to know the ins and outs of it. What does it mean to make yourself at home somewhere? It means to get to know the place, to be comfortable there, to know that, you know, there's different rooms and different rooms have a different purpose and they're all there for a reason. To make ourselves at home in the Word of God is to start to get to know those reasons and to be comfortable there and to live in that place. Matthew Henry writes, our home is to be our center and rest and refuge, So the Christian is called to find their center, rest, and refuge in the words of Christ. This is a gracious invitation to us, but it's also an ongoing challenge for us to make time, to make space in our busy lives and busy schedules to be dwelling in the Word of God, to be living in it, residing in it. It's not as easy as we sometimes think. And to continue in it, even when it gets hard, or it's hard for us to understand, or we come across a hard bit, or there's something hard in life that makes it hard to hear, to continue in that Word. At the community prayer breakfast week before last, a number of you were there, we heard retired footballer Michael Aish speaking, and he used the example from the footballing world of people who leave the game early when their team's losing. Some of you would remember this. I found it quite confronting because I'm one of these people, by the way. Sometimes I even leave early when my team's winning. I figure they've got it in the bag. They don't need me there anymore. Anyway, so Michael Aish told this story, and someone had said to him, "Look, Michael, there's two kinds of people. There's fans and there's followers. And when the going gets tough, the fans leave. When the going gets tough, the followers hang around. It's fans and there's followers." And he connected this to Christian faith and said what Christ calls us to is to be followers, not just fans. Not people who dip out when the going gets tough, we come across something hard, but to continue in his word, to stick with it, to keep at it, even when things are hard going. "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You see, it's not just an invitation, a gracious invitation, and it's not just a challenge, an ongoing challenge, but there's also a promise attached to it. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Freedom implies that there is something we need freeing from, right? Freedom implies there's some kind of bondage, something holding us back. And that's the objection of the crowd on this day, and maybe that's our objection often as well as we hear about Christian freedom. And they say, "We are descendants of Abraham. We've never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" No, people don't like the idea of being captive or being held or being slaves to anything or anyone. And the people those days were exactly the same. And so they hold on to their history and they hold on to their heritage and they kind of forget the part of it in which they actually were slaves. But they say, "We've never been slaves to anyone." Just as we might look to things in our lives and our world to establish our sense of freedom. You know, we're not bound people, are we? We're not held by anything. We're free. We live in Australia, right? Our national anthem says we are young and free. Maybe some of us are young and some of us are free. I'm not sure. It's there in the anthem, right? We're free. We live in South Australia. Only state not to be settled by convicts. Is that true? That's what people say. We're free, right? We live in the Adelaide Hills. Talk about being free. Some of us have been here for generations, right? We have a long heritage, a long history in this place. Some of us had relatives come out from Germany in search of freedom, religious freedom. Did they find it? I think so. Will we retain it? Not so sure. All right, freedom, this thirst for freedom. What do we consciously or subconsciously look to establish our freedom? You know, is it our heritage or our past? Is it that we're Lutherans? Is it that we've got good Lutheran surnames like Schubert and Fitzner and Sagenschnitter? Is that what we hold on to? Is that what we turn to? Is that what we look to establish our freedom? Or are there other things? You know, is it our money we look to, or our lifestyle, or our education, or our reputation, or what do we hold on to? You know, is it our homes, or our savings, or our insurance, or our super? I don't know how super is. Some of you could tell me, but what do we hold on to? You know, what do we think? Yeah, that makes us free. That makes us free. Jesus responds to these folks who are trying to establish their freedom on a basis other than God, And he says to them, look, very truly I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. You see, the freedom he wants for us is not firstly social freedom, political freedom, personal freedom, physical freedom. It's important stuff, right? But it's not the primary stuff that Christ comes to bring. The primary stuff doesn't have to do with our history or our heritage or our location or our lifestyle or anything like that. Jesus says at the root of every problem, there is one problem, and that's the problem I'm coming to deal with. Jesus knows our deepest need. Jesus knows our deepest hurt. He knows our deepest problem, and he simply calls it sin. And he says, if we can deal with this, we can deal with anything. It's been said that not only as human beings are we bound by sin, but we're often blind to just how bound we are by it. Just how much of a hold it can have on our lives. You know, Luther describes sin as being curved in on ourselves. Being curved in on ourselves. And of course, the work of Christ is to break that curve, to break us open. George MacDonald writes, we are in bondage to whatever we cannot part with that is less than ourselves. To whatever we cannot part with that is less than ourselves. What is that for you, I wonder? It's different for everybody. Is it your house or home or savings or anything like that? You know, is it your lifestyle, your standard of living, the things you enjoy doing? Or, you know, what we said before, reputation, education, you know, the things that we hold on to as being so dear. Is it our technology? Is it our tradition? Is it our progress? You know, it can happen on either end of the spectrum, right? What do we hold on to so fiercely? What bounds us? What binds us up? Right? What restricts us? Because it becomes our driving force and our sole focus and our top priority, and we invest too much in it. These things are binding. They bind our souls, they bind our consciences, and they starve us of our freedom. Jesus says the slave doesn't have a permanent place in the house. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. If you think about the life of a slave, and it's like the life of someone in prison or the life of someone who's bound up in any way, there's no permanency there. There's no security there. There's no comfort there. There's no peace there because there's nothing long term for them. It's a hard place to be. It's a hard place to be. Unless that slave or that prisoner or that enslaved person has a way out, an avenue, a way out of the bondage, right? In the movie The Shawshank Redemption, which I've quoted before because I love it, the story of Andy Dufresne, right? And he's, locked up, life sentence for a crime he didn't commit. And the way Andy Dufresne gets out of prison is to chisel through the wall and crawl through 500 yards of sewage pipes, right, to reach freedom. If you think of the story of Christ, given a life sentence for a crime he didn't commit, and then having to crawl through this suffering and pain and the cross, why? To secure for us a freedom we never deserved. A freedom that can release us, open us up, open the cage, right? And set us loose and set us free. This is the work of Christ in our life, and it is a beautiful thing. Freedom from death, freedom from sin, freedom from a bad conscience, freedom of the soul. That's what God wants for us, and that's what Christ brings. This is peace with God, the freedom that only the Son can give. This true freedom is not freedom to live as we like or be anything we choose. That's kind of the world speaking. This freedom of God is to live as He has intended, to live as He would choose, to serve, to love, to do everything that He wants to release us for. We are free to be all that He has created us to be, free to live as He has intended us to live, free to go out and serve the world that He so desperately loves and wants this freedom for as well. What is so remarkable about this freedom is that it does not depend on us, and yet it goes with us wherever we go. into any situation, into any difficulty, into any hardship, into any country, any place, any prison, anywhere we are. This freedom follows us, and this freedom is still with us, whatever comes our way. Even if we should lose other forms of freedom, personal freedom, political freedom, religious freedom, whatever it might be, this freedom is bigger and better and runs deeper, and there is nothing anyone can do to take it away from us. Because if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the freedom you bring through your Son, Jesus Christ, a deep freedom, a freedom of the soul. Lord, we so quickly forget about it, and we go back to our world of entrapment and our world where we live bound up and where we have all sorts of things we should master, but in turn they master us. Lord, break us free from these things and bind us only to your grace and your gospel and your beautiful word. Help us to learn it, to live in it, to dwell in it, to make ourselves at home in it, and so to be encouraged by it each and every day of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.